Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
You know, you may not know this, but I'm not originally from around here. We started in the U.S. I tell people I'm American by birth and Australian by the grace of God. But in America, at Easter, it is a big deal culturally. People go out and they spend lots of money buying dresses and hats and suits and all this stuff so that they can get really fixed up for Easter. And they take family photos and everything. We've got stacks of those. I thought about showing you one, but I'd be too embarrassed. But I'm glad we don't do that as much here, right? Are you glad that you can kind of come as you are? But in life, day to day, we actually try to put our best foot forward, don't we? We kind of dress things up so that people can see the version of us that we want them to see. I mean, think about it. There's at least two versions of us. There's the public version, and then there's the real you, right? That no one necessarily sees. Think about it. Which version of you do people see? Think about having people over for dinner. You're having a party or something. What do you do to the house? You clean it up, right? We used to host a small group in our house, and I would do that every week just to make sure we clean the house once a week, right? And when you are having people over, you clean up the house, and really what you do is you shove everything into that one room and shut the door, right? And then you spray Glen 20 around like mad, like it's actually going to do something, right, and make a difference. And people go, oh, your house smells lovely. No, it smells like Glen 20. We post the highlight reels, not the difficult moments of our lives. Which version do people actually see? And you know why we do that? I believe we do that for one reason, because we believe deep down inside that if people saw the real me, they might not want me. They might not like me. And you know, one thing that's really dangerous is we take that same attitude, and by the way, sometimes that's real because we've felt that from other people judging us and things, but we sometimes take that into how we view God. We assume God's the same way. We assume that we've got to get our life fixed first. We got to get it all together. Then we can come to God. If we do all the right things, then he's going to accept us. And if we behave just good enough, then maybe, just maybe, God will love us. And what happens then, you know this is true, is that when we're living that way, it never seems to be quite enough. We always feel like we're coming up short of that standard, whatever it is, that's going to make God love us and accept us. What if God doesn't wait for the cleaned up version of you? What if God doesn't relate to you based on your best moments, the best version, but he actually relates to you fully based on your worst? Would that be cool? Man, that'd take a lot of pressure off, wouldn't it? Look at this. The Apostle Paul in Romans says this: when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing here, and he uses a word that we don't like, right? He uses this word sinners. It's not in our common vernacular. We don't see that as something we say. In fact, we don't like that because it actually makes us feel bad, or makes us, maybe that's a label that we don't want to wear. And, you know, it actually feels a bit churchy. So if you're not a church person and that word is strange to you, I get it. We would say today something more like, oh, I made a mistake. I messed up. Well, I'm not perfect. None of us are, right? And all of that would be true. But Paul is actually talking about something deeper here. He's making a deeper point when he says that Christ came to die for us while we were still sinners, when he uses that word. He's talking about a life lived without God in focus, apart from God. He's talking about not rejecting him loudly, but just not acknowledging him at all in our lives. And this word sinners, it doesn't mean that we're irreligious. You can actually be very spiritual, very moral. You can show up church besides just on Easter. Did you know that? The building's open every week. Anyway, that's a whole other story. But none of that is what makes you loved by God and accepted by God. See, sin isn't just breaking God's rules. It's living like you don't need him. That's what sin is. It's living our lives as if God didn't exist and as if we didn't need him. But the good news is that Jesus came when we were utterly helpless. When we were at our worst, he came for us. We were sinners, meaning we were helpless, and he came for you. He came for me and every person that's ever walked on this planet. See, you were powerless. You were far from God. In Paul's words, you were a sinner. I was a sinner. And that's when Jesus came. Not when you were improved, a better version. Not when you tried harder or not when you cleaned things up. He came at your worst and he moved first. And you know, that's not normal. That's not the way humans react. Look at this. It says, now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. Now, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? When we go through life, even if you're a really, really compassionate person, you want to help people who you think deserve it, who have had a tough go, and maybe they were a victim, and they need you to help them out. You want to do that. But for people that actually made their own bed, created their own problems, what's your attitude towards them? Oh, well, you did that. And you might help them the first time or the second time, but those aren't the people we gravitate towards. Those aren't the people we want to help. And certainly, I'm going to tell you something. This is going to shock you. There's a lot of people in this room that I love a whole lot. But there's only a couple or three or four that I might actually die for, okay? And they're related to me. And certainly, as much as I could love you, you ain't getting my kid. I'm not going to sacrifice my kid for you. But that's what God did. See, God didn't wait for you to become lovable. He sent Jesus when you weren't lovable. See, the cross is not proof that you are good. It's proof that God is. It's proof that God is. That might be God calling. You better answer it. You know, I experienced something that kind of illustrates this a few weeks ago. And if you were at the Good Friday Combined Churches service, forgive me. I'm telling a story now that I told then, but it's so good I had to double use it. When Deanna and I went out a few weeks ago, it was date night. And date night is Tuesdays at the local pub. It's Parma night because Deanna loves Parmas. Or maybe I love Parmas and she tolerates them, right? So we're there, and I went up to the bar to order our meals, and I ordered our meals, and the bartender said, what's your name? And I said, Stan. And he said, it's paid for. I'm like, hey, hang on. I know I'm getting old and everything, but what? He said, yeah, it's already covered. It's already been taken care of. So then I'm looking around the place because we hadn't been there very long, and I'm looking around the place and seeing who is it that loves me? I thought the only person that loves me I was already with. And I know she didn't already pay for it. If that was you, by the way, thank you. And it's Tuesday nights. I go every now and then, so. Yeah. In that moment, everything changed. I didn't have to grab my phone or use my watch to pay for my meal. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, how is this working? And there's part of me that wanted to say, well, can I at least pay for some of it? I should have ordered the steak, by the way, but anyway. And there was nothing I could do. All I could do was receive it. Friends, that's the story of the cross, only it's much better than a Parma, okay? I guarantee you. See, Jesus paid a bill that you didn't even realize that you owed. He did that for you, and he did that for me. Look what Paul says there. He's already called us sinners, okay? Now he's going to turn up the heat. It says, since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies. Enemies. He's called us sinners. Now he's calling us enemies. Another word that we actually don't want to use a whole lot. We don't throw that around lightly. We only use that when we're talking about Collingwood supporters. An enemy, someone who's against you, someone who you avoid, someone that maybe you say, I don't even want to be in the same room with that person. That's an enemy. There's tension, there's distance, there's separation. And that's the idea Paul is getting across here. We were enemies, which means we were hostile. And in that moment, he died for you. He died for me. We were sinners and helpless. He came for me, and he were enemies and were hostile. He died for you. An enemy is someone that rejects God's authority, who lives their life their own way instead. See, sinner describes our condition, that we're sinners, we're helpless. Enemy describes our direction, where we're acting that out, how we're living our life. See, we weren't just neutral or struggling with our relationship with God. We were actually separated, opposed, and resistant to him. And that's pretty confronting. I don't know about for you, but for me it is, because I actually like to think I'm actually a decent person. I'm a nice guy. Any decent people in the room? Oh, I see one. All right. Praise God, man. You and me. The first service had none. All right. So now we're up to two. Wow. That's exciting. You know, the shock of the gospel is this, that while we were sinners, while we were enemies, Jesus died for us. See, you weren't just far from God. You were against him, and he still chose you. He did that. You did nothing to earn that. And that's what changes everything, because the cross doesn't just forgive you, it reconciles you. That word, friends, that's the word reconciled. It reconciled that relationship that was broken. It took you as an enemy and brought you near. It took the distance and restored the relationship so the distance was gone. The separation became a relationship. Jesus didn't change your record, what was true about you. He changed your relationship. And friends, if you don't take anything else home today, take that home, because it's not about religion. It's not about showing up at church and all those things. It's about a relationship. And he died so you could have a relationship with him and with the Father. Look at what that change created. While we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. Now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. See, Paul says we will be saved through his life, not through his death. You know, we all know the picture of the cross and Jesus on a cross, but that paid the debt. But if he hadn't risen from the dead, we wouldn't be talking about him today. He rose from the dead. It wasn't his death, it was his life. Because if Jesus stayed dead, it's a powerful, powerful story. It's a story of tragedy, a story of sacrifice, and a great moral example. But here's the real meaning of Easter, is the resurrection changes everything. It moved us from being the sinners and enemies to being friends, from being helpless and hostile to having a home. He rose for you. He rose for me. That's the gospel. Because if Jesus rose, if that really happened, it changes everything. And can I tell you, it did. And we could spend the next several hours talking about all the evidence that Jesus rose. But you've been here on Easter before, and you've heard those things. Matthew says it like this. Don't be afraid. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead just as he said he would. That means sin is defeated. It means death didn't win. It is beaten. Hope is alive. So you're not just forgiven. You're not just tolerated. You are not just improved. This isn't about just being forgiven. It's about coming home. It's about having that relationship restored. You are a friend of God. Anybody ever feel like you have no friends? Feel lonely? Guess what? If you're a follower of Jesus, God says, I'm your friend. I'm your friend. So if you've been feeling friendless, follow Jesus. This is what God does for you. He doesn't just keep you at a distance. He doesn't just tolerate you. He doesn't give you a second chance from afar. He brings you home. It's not casual. It's not surface level. You are loved. You are accepted. You are known. You're brought into relationship. And we saw the beautiful picture of this illustrated in the baptisms today, you know, as those stories were told. Because, see, the resurrection doesn't just change your destination. That's pretty important, but it changes how you live now. That's why the last question we ask them when they're in the tank is, do you intend to follow Jesus the rest of your life? Because resurrection gives you the power to live a life for God. Paul says it like this, just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too may live new lives. In other words, you're not just forgiven, you're made new. It's a new life. You're dead to the old life and alive to the new. And we say this stuff all the time, but I think it's so familiar that we don't understand the magnitude of it. We don't embrace the magnitude of it. And for those of you that are already followers of Jesus, can I encourage you? Let's live in that. Let's remember that, what he did for us, and let's live the new life, not the old life. These stories that we heard were not from perfect people. Some of them are pretty close. They're decent people, but not really. They were from sinners. They were from enemies, helpless, hostile people who are now friends with God and have a home, have that relationship. That only happens because Jesus didn't stay in the grave. See, the cross paid the price. The resurrection was God saying, that's accepted. I accept that payment. What looked like the end for Jesus there could actually be your beginning. And if you're already a follower of Jesus, it was your beginning. Because the cross proves that God loves you. The resurrection says that nothing can stop him. So what do you do with all of this? Maybe you came today, Grandma asked you to come and you showed up. Thanks for doing that. Thanks for loving Grandma enough to be here. But what do you do with what you just heard? Do you just ignore it? Well, let me challenge that for just a second. Because some of you are here today, and if you're honest, life hasn't worked out exactly the way you thought it was gonna. And you're actually not really happy with the way things have turned out. Because you've made decisions that you regret. Anybody? Yeah, we all have. And if you're like me, you're a fixer, you've tried to fix things over and over and over again, but you still feel stuck. And maybe deep, deep down, you wonder this, could God really want me? And you might be sitting there thinking, Stan, you don't know me. And you're right, I don't, but I know me. And I know a lot of other people. And the things that you've done are not too big. That actually makes God relate to you. That's how he relates to you, because he came when you were at your worst. If you're asking this question, could God really want me? Can I tell you, Easter has already answered it. He already came for you. Yeah, so God does want you. Every one of you. Every one of us. Not a future you. Not a new and improved, better version of you, but you right now, just as you are. That's why Jesus came. For some of you, this could be your moment. Not to clean up your act and tidy things up and get ready for that better life, my next best life or whatever, but a time for you to choose to come home. You got a choice today. I'll give you a couple of options. One, you can sit there today and say yes to Jesus. Not, hey, I'll fix it or I'll figure it all out. But just say, Jesus, I give you my life. Maybe that's you today. You've been sitting here and this has resonated with you because you know that you've tried and tried and tried and life hasn't worked out and all those things. And you're like, I need to surrender and give my life to Jesus. You could pray that prayer today. Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I come home. And you know what? You don't even have to bow your head and close your eyes to do that. You can just say that prayer right now from your heart, from your mind. You got to mean it, though. You can say it out loud if you want to. Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I come home. If that's you today, I'm excited for you, and we're going to want to know about that. But if it's not you yet, there was a card on your seat when you came in. It says, my response. You got lots of options there. You could tick the box that says, I gave my life to Jesus, and we'd love to know that. Put your name on it if you did that. Maybe you've got questions about God and faith. Maybe you want to believe, but you still got doubts, and you're just not sure. Maybe you've known Jesus, but you're feeling distant right now. Maybe you'd like to learn more about following Jesus. Lots of options there. Can I encourage you, wherever you're at on this faith journey, if you're considering the things that have been said today, if you've heard these things today and you're thinking, man, I'm not ready to say, Jesus, I give you my life right now, but I know I need to find out more. There's something inside of me that's churning and my heart's beating faster and I'm uncomfortable and all that and it's messy, but I need to know more. Just let us know. Because we would love to follow up with you, love to have a conversation with you. If that's you, let me encourage you. We've got an Alpha course coming up. There's another card on your seat that talks about that. That's where you can find out more about this faith. There's no pressure, no perfect answers. Just you get to ask your questions and explore. But I want to wrap this up by letting you know something today. You are more loved than you think. You are more pursued than you realize. It's like somebody coming after me, pursuing me. Yeah, God is. That's that thing going do, do, do. That's God saying, hey, I want you. I'm coming after you. I sent Jesus to die for you. Come on, come on. And you are closer to God than you ever believed possible because Jesus came when you were at your worst. So no matter where you're at today, come home. Come home. That's the invitation. He came while you were still broken, and then he walked out of the grave to provide you a future. This might be your story today. It's my story. I was helpless. I was hostile, but now I've got a home. Maybe that's your story today if you're a follower of Jesus. If you're not, it could be. I'm going to invite you all to stand as we close. I'm going to invite you, if you're willing to, if you want to, if the things on the screen you're about to see are true for you, I want you to say it with me. I'll say it. We'll say it one line at a time, and you can repeat it after me if it's true for you. If it's not, that's okay. No judgment or anything. Here we go. I was a sinner. He came for me. I was an enemy. He died for me. I am a friend. He rose for me. Father, thank you. While we were sinners, when we were at our worst, while we were helpless, You intervened. Thank you so much that we didn't have to get it all right first and clean up our act, because, Lord, we'd all be still hopeless. Thank you so much. Thank you when we rejected you and were hostile towards you and wanted, honestly, nothing to do with you because we want to figure it all out ourselves. Thank you that Jesus died for us. And, Lord, when we have gone through life feeling alone, thank you for telling us that you want to be our friend. You want to call us home. God, thank you so much for your grace, for our salvation, and Lord, for the resurrection. Lord, I thank you for Jesus dying on the cross, but I thank you even more that he didn't stay there. That when he was buried, he rose again, because that gives us a hope and a future that is greater than we could have ever imagined. Lord, I pray right now over this the people in the room today. Lord, if people today have responded to give their life to you, have said, Jesus, I give you my life, I pray that today you give them the courage to let us know that. And Lord, if they're still not sure, help them to explore. Help them to let us know that too, so we can journey with them and help them understand this faith. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.